the days of my life,
all the days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place.
Jehovah, our Father, we thank you for honoring our gathering with your presence. We're grateful. We ask as we go to the word now, that presence go with us. And open the word to us. Burn our hearts. Let our hearts burn with holy fervor as we hear your word, understand it, and start acting upon it to get the blessings and the purposes to be revealed therein. To this end, anoint me afresh and put the same unction on the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me. Those present, those who will hear me remotely, let the power of your Spirit in great measure back the words. Let healing come. Let deliverance come. Lord God, free men from yokes and bondages, enabling them to become doers and not hearers only. And fill our minds with revelation. Let the power of your word and your Spirit temper our emotions, the fruit of the Spirit. Let that internal transformation work be done continuously as the word goes forth, causing us to become like Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement receiving all the blessings said, we've had such a beautiful time in the presence of the Lord. Thank God for the lovely ministration by the children and also by the choir. I'm going to give us just a short exhortation God put in my heart for today. I've entitled it Fruit and Prosperity. Fruit and Prosperity. The scriptures tell us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and patience. And so, this describes graphically and in detail the character of God. This is what God is. God is love. But love has all those components. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 to 8 says the same thing but with different words describing how it behaves in action. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best, you know, and so on and so forth. This is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it is the will of God that as God's children and His sons, not just children, you know, you find that unconsciously in the church, you find people say God's children, which is not wrong, please don't misunderstand me. But, you know, we should now start becoming conscious that we're not just God's children, God wants us to become His sons. And in God's will is for us to prosper materially and financially. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 9, one of my favorites, I first heard it from Pa Elton in 1979, that's 39 years ago. And he said this. Let's read together with me. For you know, How many people know now? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many people know if you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, give me a wave offering. Glory be to God. Then turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might manage. I said that deliberately. Might just get along. Hello? Don't try and spiritualize the scripture. It says exactly what it means. God doesn't just want you comfortable. He wants you rich. Hello, somebody. Remember when we were kids, there was this comic. I'm sure it's still around. It's called Richie Rich. You know, where this comic, you know, character's fictional. But he was called the Rich Little Poor Kid. You know, he had a lot of money. His father was a billionaire and all that. That's what God means. You know, that you might be rich. I know the prosperity message has been distorted. I know it has been misapplied. And some people, including myself to some degree, but God has corrected me, have shrunk away. You know, but that's not right, because it can't change the word of God. The fact that some people misused it does not mean it's not true. God wants us to be rich, not just provided for, not just comfortable, but to be rich. Everybody say rich. Don't you ever say richy rich? Oh, come on, you didn't say it properly. Amen. Talk like somebody who believes the Bible. Say hi, richy rich. Now you're getting it. Praise the Lord. It's the will of God. You don't even need revelation knowledge. It's black and white. God didn't. There is no spiritualization in this. There is no types and shadows. There is no hidden. It's there. But there's an issue. And the issue is fruit. First of all, let us just review a few things. I just, you know. Thank you, Ayo. Keep playing that. It's very nice. Why does God want us to be rich? It's important to know the reason why. We're going to look at it at two angles. Number one, God wants you as a person to be materially and financially comfortable. The answer is so simple, it's stunning. Why? Because you are his child. Simple. There's no... Why? Because you are a son of God. How many people here want their children to be begging for food? Don't put up your hand. We'll have to do deliverance for you. And I'm not ready for any deliverance service this afternoon. That means you have a serious devil we have to cast out. You know, how many people want their children not to have shoes when they are going to school? How many people want their children to be wearing tattered clothes? If you being evil, you need to settle this matter in your mind finally, if it is not settled. If you being evil want good things for your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want you to have good things? Good car, good house, good clothes. Only Pastor Ibrahim is saying amen. So only Pastor Ibrahim is getting the blessing. I'm going to say it again. Good house. Uh-huh. Good car. Good clothes. Good holidays. That's the God we serve. That song we sing. It's true. You know, gods of the heathen are terrible.
But our God is, you know, I mean, imagine having a God like Shopono. This one is a good God. He wants good things for his children. He wants us to, just like you will feel grieved in your heart if your children, you know, are destitute, or they are, you know, they go to school and they are ashamed, they can't wear nice clothes, they can't eat well for breakfast when they're going to school, and they don't look good. Just like, you know how you feel? That's how God feels. You see, God is the original, you are the copy. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. Image, shape, likeness, internal. That's how God is. He doesn't want us, his children, to, you know, to be destitute in any kind of way. But alas, alas, what do we see? In practice, we see, thank God for the prosperity message, and thank God many of us have learned and are still learning, you know, but there's still a lot of God's people who are not enjoying those things. You want to ask why? Of course, it cannot be because God is not doing it. It cannot be because God is not faithful. It cannot be because God doesn't want it. All those are religious traditions that are lies. Have you heard as poor as a church mouse? How can you be using the church as a standard for poverty? God forbid bad thing. But you know, that's what we've been come to know, been known as over the centuries. That came from the time of the monasteries, and you know, it was supposed to be pious to be poor. If you were holy and you are a holy person and you are serving God, you are supposed to be poor. In other words, you couldn't be rich and holy. It's one of the biggest lies that came out of the pit of hell. And this is why we preach these messages like this, you know, to destroy those strongholds. Because they're strongholds. They've been there for centuries. Centuries. And even today, we know prosperity, somehow you still feel a little, if you don't have good things, so, you know, souls are perishing. You know, yeah, I'm going to get to the souls in a minute. You see, your prosperity is what is going to cause souls not to perish. If you truly understand it. That's the irony. So God wants us to be rich. He wants us to be comfortable. First reason is because he loves us. And we're his children. And no good father wants his children to lack. Oh, I have been young and now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I really say, bless you, you will never beg. It's not the will of God. He says, for the righteous to fall down before the unrighteous. He says, like a corrupt spring. You will not go before an unbeliever and begin to ravel in the dust because of what you want to eat. God forbid. But alas, alas. Sometimes we see that happen. You see Christians compromising, falling down before unbelievers, even, you know, worshipping them almost simply because of the contract he wants to get, because of what he wants to eat. It's not the will of God. The second reason, I must hurry, why God wants us to prosper is so that we can have abundance to do two things in this order. One, to preach, to finance the preaching of the gospel so that the souls will not perish. That's the link there. Number two, to help the poor in our environment. It's not the will of God that you be like the rich man and Lazarus the beggar, and you are passing by the man every day, and the man is suffering from hunger. It should be you who should say, call your servants, if you have them, or people, say, go and take care of that man. Hey, this money, go and take care of that man. Make sure he has food. I sent a video around. Somebody sent it to me, actually. I think it was Pastor Guiga, yeah. About a little boy in America. The boy is 4 years old. His name is Austin. And, very, very short. What happened was that I think he went out one day with his dad. He's only 4 years old. And he saw people who were hungry and homeless. And so he asked his father. And you know, one of the things, why the thing hits me is because I asked the same question when I was about that age. I used to ask it. He said, how come these people are homeless? Don't they have a mommy? They don't have a daddy? What's going on with them? And his dad told him, he said, yes, it's true. They don't. They're homeless. They don't have. They're hungry. He said, okay. You know what? It's 4 years old. This is in Alabama. It's a true, you know. So I sent it around the church, most of the groups, you know. And this little child, he said to his dad, he said, okay, the money you should use for my toys, the money you should use to buy toys for me and for my, you know, comfort and all that, he said, use it to make sandwiches. So I would take it to the poor and give them. 4 years old. They videoed it. So the daddy will take him, put him inside the car. They will make a whole basket or you know, paper bag, and it'll be full of sandwiches. Then the little child, he will take it, and he wrote something on something, show love. 4 years old. Then he will take it. Then he will go to the homeless people and say, here's a sandwich for your lunch. He says, and don't forget to show love. Then he'll go to the next person and give it to him. True story. Now, that's another Obama coming up. I'm telling you. I want to follow the trajectory of that child's life. You, that kind of honesty of heart at that age. But you know what that child did is what every Christian should be doing. Show love. Your love. God is love. You're a child of love. A child of God. You know, it wasn't all the money. The father is not a multimillionaire or anything. But the little said, the money of my toys. So the second reason, first one is to preach the gospel, finance the gospel, which is very important. You mustn't substitute one for the other. The second reason is to show mercy to the poor. If you have poor people around you, and you always will, the scripture actually says so. It says the poor you always will have with you. You take out of that abundance, out of the abundance God has given you, and you show mercy. Food, drink, clothing, whatever it is that God will make available to you. In the Old Testament, God gave them the instruction, the same instructions, but in a different kind of way. But we can learn a lot from it. I was just reading my own personal Bible reading. I can't remember. I saw Leviticus somewhere, you know. And as I was reading, it struck my heart. And God said, he said that if a poor man borrows something from you or is owing you money and you take a pledge, back in those days, do you understand, to make sure that he pays, you would take a pledge. You might take his clothes or you might take something from him that is important to him. You know, it may be the thing he grinds with. You know, it's like a kind of security until he pays the money. You know, God says when you take the pledge of a poor man, he wrote it specifically. He said, don't keep it until night. He you know, for example, let's say, for example, I think one particular reference actually said this. Maybe it's a cloth. This is the cloth the man uses to cover himself at night. Okay? The man doesn't have any other thing, so he gives you that cloth. Says, hold this as a pledge, a security, you know, against what I am going to give, you know, what I owe you and all of that. So you take the cloth. God says, when it is night and the man wants to sleep, he said, you must not keep that cloth with you overnight. He said, take it back to the man so that he will have something to cover himself with. He said, because if you don't, when the man is cold in the night and he cries to me, he said, we hear. And I will deal with you. That's Olubi's translation. Showing mercy to the poor is very important to God. God is watching all the time. You know, God is not down here, but we are. So when you show mercy to the poor, it is God showing mercy to the poor. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you sick? When did we visit you? He said, as long as you did it to any of these, you did it to me. So that's the second reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at verse 8. That's what Pa Elton taught us. Aha, you're already there. Now, put this in the Amplified Bible. Thank you. And I want us to read. This is the second reason for prosperity. This is the reason for prosperity. God wants us not only just to become, but he wants us rich so that we can have abundance. Then we can use that abundance to give to the work of God so that souls will not perish. Because how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? That sent doesn't mean, Honorable Ejo, I'm sending you to London to go and preach. I can't send you with mouth. Hello? He's going to take tickets. He's going to stay in hotel. He's going to eat. Oh, for you, wherever they're going to go and preach, they have to take Bible and take tracts and take whatever. It costs money. Turn to your neighbor, say it costs money. Really money to preach the gospel. It's not, you are sitting down under aircon now. You think they just gave it to us free. It's not free. Hello, this microphone is not free. This PA system, we ordered it from South Africa when the church was 30 years old in 2014. It's not free. You are hearing the thing. Is this sounding nice in your ear? It's not like that. The gospel moves with money. Fact. See, it's one of the things that have pushed some of our brethren, sadly, to start playing tricks and gimmicks because they need money. And it is true. Hence this message. It's true. And God knows you need the money. But there's a way of getting it. And there's a way not to get it. That's what has caused the bastardization, the distortion, the corruption of the prosperity message. However, we must not throw away the baby with the bathwater. So, Amplified Bible. And God, the people who want this blessing should open their mouth. Those who don't want it, just shut up where you are. And God is able. Turn to your neighbor, is God, ask your neighbor, is God able? Answer them, yes or no. Are you sure God is able? Are you sure? Are you sure? Okay, read the scripture. And God is able to make some grace. Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in trickles so that you may sometimes and under some special circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require
no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every, for a few, for some, when you are not broke. For every good work and charitable donation. Something happens to me, you know, and God has mercy on me. He helps me. And I must be honest and be very honest. You know, sometimes I fail. You cannot imagine the number of letters that come to my office. Pastor, I'm doing this. Please, we need contribution. You know, some to me, some to my wife, come to life, people say, send those letter. I'm a student. I don't have this. You know, Pastor Luby, God has told me that you are the one that God is going to use to bless me. I must be honest with you. It's not all of them I answer. I pray. If I feel this one is not, you know, I put it aside. But the only reason why I do that is that I have limited resources. But that's where God is going. Where your resources will be so much that no matter what comes, you can give to everyone. That you won't give the same to everybody. You know, when it comes to the tithe offering, the preaching of the gospel, that's the lion's share. That's where we give the main thing to. Because the gospel must never suffer. However, when it comes to people, charitable donations and all that, you should be able to give something significant. Are you listening to me? You know, 10,000 here, 15,000, 20,000, 50,000. What kind of money? What should be given to the gospel is millions. Turn to your neighbor, turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm about to write Pastor Olubi in his check. That check is not less than 1 million. Give the Lord a clap of, for example. Amen. But seriously, that's where God is taking the church. That's where we should be, you know, when it comes to the work of God. You say, please, just manage this 100 million. Things are a little bit tight now, but at least take that. That's what David said. How many people know? When they were preaching, when they were going to build the temple, David said, in my poverty, and David was not poor. You know, he gave the equivalent of 100 million something. And he was even apologetic that they should not be angry that, you know, things are a little bit tight. This will... That should be the mentality of the child of God, of the Son of God. So he wants us to be comfortable because we're his children. He loves us. Then number two, to have, so that we can, the preaching of the gospel be... Preachers and teachers like myself and others, we should not be thinking about, why am I going to get money for television? Where am I going to get money to travel? It should not even be on the radar. There should be so much money that we only have to think about what we want to do. And the resource to do it will be there. And then we should have so much that all the poor people around us, people will be saying, I thank God that church is in my locality. I thank God that that man is living near me. Because of the people, you know, everybody around there, when it's Christmas, they give us this, they give us that. You know, even if they don't come to your church, that act of charity, that act of kindness will touch people's hearts. This is the reason. Now, how do we prosper? I've told you why. We've told you what it is. You sow. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 6. Pastor G, this message is so simple. I wonder how we complicated it. An enemy has done this. It's so simple. It's so simple. He says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly, how many people here want to? How many people here don't want to prosper? Open your mouth. Say, he that soweth sparingly. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not that one. Man, I'm not sowing sparingly. Hallelujah. Shall reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully. John Devon said, that's me. That's me. I sow bountiful, shall reap also bountiful. He's talking about money. Don't spiritualize it. It's also true about other things. But in this context, he's talking about money. Particularly in Galatians chapter 6, he says that he that is turned there to, quickly, 6 verse 7, I think it is, 7 and 8. He said that he that is taught in the word. Don't give it to me in King James, because they will think that it means you talk to the man. You know, King James says, he that is taught ought to communicate. Whatever, monkey pastor Laro. Good morning, sir. I'm going to communicate. You know, that's not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. The Greek word is the word koinonia. It means share. It means give. Look at Galatians chapter 6. All right. Galatians. No. Give it to me, King James, first. King James first. We're going to come back to the other ones in a minute. Let him that is taught in the word. How many people are taught in the word here? I'm not going to personalize it. You know, I could take up a serious offering now. But I'm not going to do that because I won't bastardize the message. Amen. But he that is taught in the word. This is a command. It is not a suggestion. He that is taught in the word. And billions, millions of Christians have been taught in the word every day. And many of them don't communicate. My own understanding is this. Every time you hear the word of God, you should give. That's why you should never come to church empty-handed. It's scripture. Let him that is taught in the word, if that's you, give me a wave offering. Hallelujah. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, quickly run to the Amplified. Let him who receives instruction in the word share some good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Hear the word of the Lord. The hour is coming and now is where the richest people on the earth will be pastors. It hasn't happened yet, but we're on the way. Hello? Why? The answer is very, very simple. Why? Why would they be rich? Everybody's contributing to their support. Imagine if you have 1 billion people that send you 1 naira every week. There is no business on this earth that you can do that can get such an income. When the gospel is being preached the way it should be preached, and the people have the understanding that they should have and begin to obey these scriptures, the church will become the richest financial institution in the whole earth. You will not be able to match the income. At the moment, a little here and there, but you know, this is the will of God. So that the resources, he says, bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So that they're not thinking, they should not be thinking about how much is a plane ticket. Can I go or can I not go? How many missionaries can we send? How are we going to take care? What's the salary we are going to give them for the wife and the children? The school of the children and the missionary that's going to go and spend 6 months in the bush. And his wife, his children are here. How am I going to look after them? It should not be on my radar. The money should be there. I will be paying my missionaries better than they pay bankers. Oh, give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. I don't want to get on the case of bankers this afternoon. But, you know, I've said this before. And it's been corroborated in recent times by other people independently. You know, teachers and doctors should be the people that should get the best pay. And bankers and people and economists should be people that should get the least pay. Someone say, Pastor Lubi, that's unfair. Of course it's not. The teachers and the doctors are looking after the most precious thing, your children.
If anything happens to your children or your health, you lose your life. Your most precious commodity are your children. And the people that minister to them are your teachers and your doctors. Your least important commodity is your money. If you lose the money, you can make another one tomorrow. But if you lose your child, you cannot get another one tomorrow. Why would I pay the person who is looking after the most important thing the least? And then pay the person who is looking after the least important thing the most? An enemy has done this. Clear thinking. Clear thinking. I have nothing against bankers. Do you know what has happened? What happened in the 90s here in Nigeria? Not only in Nigeria, all over the world. All the brilliant people went to the banks. Guys did first degree in engineering, first class, you know, physics, engineering, mathematics. All of them went to go and do ACCA. You know why? They were getting the most money. So the banking industry and the economic industry was attracting the best brains simply because of the money. Not because they love the job. They love the money. But it should be the other way around. The professions that should be attracting the greatest amount of money should be the teacher. So all the best brains will go to the schools and bring up the second generation. Clear thinking. And we are changing it. In life already, we pay our teachers very well. And we, you know, give them rewards and things like that. And they haven't seen anything yet. Amen. The hour is coming and now is. Hallelujah. Where teachers will be multimillionaires. And they won't leave their job because they love their job. And they are doing it not only just for the money, but for the lives of the children. Amen. That's how it should be. But because money has been distorted, the understanding of money has been distorted, that's why things are upside down. So we need to put them right way up. Teachers and doctors. You can't go far without your doctor. Oh, yeah. See what was happening with this strike, this industrial action. You know, it's causing so many deaths and everything. You know, we should value them. So medicine should be attracting the best brains. Teaching should be attracting the best brains. Then you can have the others. Hello. I've just told you a great truth. You see, this truth would build any society. It was what Ifeoluwa recognized. If you honor teachers, you are building the next generation. Today, most people don't want to teach. The money is not good. They don't get paid on time. So people don't want to teach. So you leave your children to just some ragamuffin. God forbid. So, how do I get from that? He that is taught in the word ought to communicate, contribute to his support. And I said, pastors, see, because as they contribute to the support, there will be abundance in the house of God. You're supposed to. Then go to verse 7, Galatians 6. Quick. I got to close. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever he wants. Everybody shout that word. Sow it. That shall he reap. Keep it in context. What did he sow? He sowed his contribution to the support. So whenever you give tithes and offerings, what are you doing? You're sowing. Is it clear? It's clear from the Bible. This is not Kenneth Copeland. This is not Kenneth Hagin's. This is not prosperity pastors teaching. This is Bible. When you are contributing the support of the person who is teaching you the word of God, you are sowing. That's how you sow. Then the next thing you do, I'm going to close a minute. You water by praying. This is where the fruit comes in. That's why it's titled Fruit and Prosperity. See, God put a condition. That's why we see so many Christians are not prospering as much. He says,
Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as. Everybody say, even as.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Even, I didn't hear you. Now, I turn to you and say, that's direct proportionality. That is, the more you, your soul prospers, the more you can prosper. The less your soul prospers, the less you prosper. So you can now go and check your bank account and find out what's going on. Go and just check. Just check. So, God, you said you love me. I'm God's child. God doesn't want anything. He wants good things for his children. But then check the soul. If the prosperity of the soul increases, then material prosperity will correspondingly increase. Is this clear? And that is why you need to put a priority on the development of the fruit of the Spirit. All those things I mentioned at the beginning. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, humility for the soul, for the will, revelation for the mind, the fruit of the Spirit for the emotions. That's the soul is the mind, will, and emotions. So the more fruit you have in your soul, you're going to see the more prosperity, material prosperity that God will be able to trust you with. Then you will have the less, you have the abundance, and you'll be able to be, you know, contribute to charitable donation. You'll be able to support your pastor or who is teaching you in the word. You'll be able to help the poor. You'll be able to, you know, you all the things God wants. You'll be able to open your eyes. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that. God wants me to do that. You know, and your children will be fine. You'll have a nice house. You'll have a nice home. You have. You see, God does not say. The Bible tells us in First Timothy in chapter 6. It says that God wants us to enjoy all things shabbily. So God knows. Do you know God knows what the one that is good and the one that's not good? There's one scripture in the Bible that says that when you enter the land and you build yourself goodly houses, it means God knows the difference between the ordinary house and the goodly one. God has an eye, you know. Check out heaven. Amen. The gates are made of pearl. He could have just made it of one steel. Just one, you know. Why did he put pearl? God likes good things. Don't your neighbor say God likes good things. That's why. They don't spiritualize anything. That's how God is. If you're a child of God, you too will like good things. God likes decent environments. Nice. The street is gold. But not any type of gold, though. You know, we have 24 carats here and all of that. This one has no impurity. It's as clear as crystal. Beautiful environment. That's God. That's how God is. He doesn't like shabby things around him. You know, that's why he warned Moses. We are going to build that tabernacle. Don't just misbehave around the whole plan. This is a little bit translation. Make sure they build it according to the pattern. He said, I have anointed Bezalel and all men that are wise hearted so that they will make the effort and go and check it out. All the things, when he talked about the clothing of the priests, he told us the reason. He said, for glory and beauty. That's our God. Oh. This God that they've given you is a funny God. That he likes poverty. That's not my God. You understand? Our God loves good things. But he doesn't want us to be self-centered, covetous. Mm-mm. He wants you to have abundance. And as you're having it, give. Give to the gospel. Those who are teaching you the word of God, so that the word of God can continue to go, that's very important. Then give to the poor and help people. And so you sow by giving your tithes and your offerings, and then you see your tithes and your offerings is for the church. You mustn't mix them up. Then on top of that, you also give to the poor and to others. You cannot give to your friend and say, that's my tithe. Mm-mm. Hello. You can't give to the poor and say, that's my tithe. Your tithe is not to the poor. Your tithe is to the church. It is after you've done that, you will now take something and then you give to the poor. Because if anything happens to the church, the poor will die. So that's why the first priority. Is this clear?
Okay. Then finally, you harvest. Now, how does God bless us? I'm going to close. As your soul prospers, three things will be available. There are avenues of prosperity. I preached a message about 2002 called Rivers of Prosperity. Similar, but I just stick on three. That message I preached four. But this one, I'm going to stick to three. Now, here, the first one is God will give you wisdom so you can have a good job. Hello, everybody say job, job, job. Ishe. Ishe. Now, in our language, Ishe is job. Amen. Most Christians don't want to work. Well, there's another scripture. That's why you have to balance the Bible. Which says, if you don't work, you won't eat. See, if you don't work, watch this. You are lazy. And laziness is not a fruit of the Spirit. So your soul is not prospering. So the prosperity is blocked. Am I talking to anybody here? So you have to be industrious. You have to be hardworking. God will give you wisdom. He will give you strength. He'll give you good health. So you can have a good job or business. You know, call it job, business, whatever. You know, so, and that becomes a major avenue to which God blesses you. This is clear. The second avenue through which God blesses you is investments. It's similar, but it's not exactly the same. Investment is, you're not the one doing the job, but you take out of money that you have and you go and invest inside a company, you know, you buy shares, you know, and then you get dividends. They pay every year so much, you know, you know, sometimes they give you bonuses and your wealth portfolio begins to increase. One man who is a very sterling example of this, even though as far as I know he's not a Christian, but it's just the example, is Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is one of the richest men in the world. He doesn't have any business. He doesn't own one company or the other, but he's heavily invested. He has a great number, I don't know how much, in Coca-Cola. He bought it in the 50s and the early 60s. The thing skyrocketed and appreciated. It was one of the things that gave him so much money. So he now, because that's his work, you know, he now took of that profit that came from Coca-Cola and put it into other businesses, and those ones too multiplied. You know, before you knew it, his investments have made him one of the richest men in the world. He doesn't own the companies. He owns them in terms of maybe majority share. But he doesn't go there. He goes once in a year when they have board meeting. Sign paper and go away. That's a good way. Hello, somebody. Amen. Investments. I will say income. These are the streams of God's blessings. I will say income, investments. Then the third one, this one's going to shock and surprise you. Amen. Gifts. It's favor. Somebody just come and meet you and say, you may not be a pastor. You know, there's the one with pastor where they give you because you preach and all of that. It's just called favor. You go somewhere, you know, you want to buy something, or you know, you need something. And it just looks at it and says, I'll give it to you. That's God blessing you through gifts. You have some project that you're doing, you know, and people just come and say, you're going through this, please take this. Please take that. Please take this. God is one of the great ways God blesses us. So you have gift, ever say, income, investments, and gifts. So as you develop the fruit of your spirit, that's the key in your life. Do you understand? And you sow, you give to the gospel, you give, preach, then you give to the poor, you help people. Jesus said it, so he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall what? Men. God doesn't counterfeit money and send it from heaven.
He's going to use human beings who's going to put it into their heart to come and give you. Some people will give you money. Some will give you ideas. You'll be sitting down, minding your own business. Somebody will just come and meet you and say, I'm inviting you, please come. I want you to sit on my board. And I'm going to give you 1 million every year just because you are there. Amen, come. Pastor Andre, ain't it, Bano? Praise the Lord. This is it. Fruit and prosperity. This is the will of God. This is what God wants us, so that the church will be self-sufficient, ready for any charitable donation. We won't be thinking about it. It's a very terrible thing for us, for money to be a restriction to us. It's not the will of God. And we need to change it around by, you know, doing these things. First of all, let's be givers. Let's be sowing. Then let's be watering by prayer and walking in the Spirit, so we can develop the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's the key. The fruit of the Spirit is not there or not there in sufficient measure. It affects the prosperity. And it's God's kindness. Because if God gives you too much money without fruit, the money will destroy you. Ask Solomon. And then doing things. Make sure you are working. You know, you may not necessarily be working a 9-to-5 job. You could be. You may not be. But make sure you're doing something. You have something you're doing through which God can bless you. Then investing. And then also favor and goodwill. Be kind to people. Be merciful. You don't know who God is going to use tomorrow. Who's come and give you something that's going to be essential for your life. God loves you. And He wants every single one of us. I didn't used to think it was possible. But after these many years, I've come to see that it is the will of God. And it is possible. He wants every... He said, there shall be no poor amongst you. How many can believe that? Stand to your feet. There shall be... He's not the whole church who is Zion. Go and read this in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. That scripture is so powerful. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 15. 15. 15. 15. I don't know the verse of it. Aha! Good. Now, why don't you... Yes, this is good enough. Don't let me, you know... But there will be no poor... To tell your neighbor, it's a prophecy, Neo. It doesn't yet come to pass. Because I'm just a little poor Christian. But it's coming to pass. There will be no poor. There will be no poor among you. For the Lord will maybe surely bless you in heaven. Now this is the problem. You see, the land he was talking about here was the promised land. This was written by to Moses. Deuteronomy was written by Moses before they entered the promised land. In our today, the promised land is when the church comes to the perfection of the fullness of Christ. As we come into this glory and perfection, there will be no poor amongst us. I believe God's word. The least of us will be a millionaire. Amen. 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 Meta. Amen. I said the least.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The normal will be billionaire.
Amen.
And the rich will be trillionaire.
Amen.
Trillionaire. So the ones who don't have too much will be millionaires. You know, maybe ask 20 million, 30 million. Brian really has faith. Talking dollar. But seriously, you know, 5 million, 10 million, those are the people who are, you know, the ones who are doing better will be 100, 200, 500, 1 billion, 2 billion, 3. It will be normal. And then the really rich will be trillions.
Amen.
Those will be the pastors. Amen. You know why? Because all the others will be given to them. Because they're the ones feeding the people. That's what the Bible said. So you contribute to their support. So the guy who's getting million will contribute. The guy who has billion will contribute. So no wonder why the man will get trillion. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Fruit and prosperity. Everybody say fruit and prosperity. I didn't hear you. It's the will of God. It is the will of God. This lack, poverty, is not the will of God. It's not the will of God. It is not a sign of piety, of humility. It's a sign of ignorance. The more holy and humble you are, the more God is going to prosper you. And then you use it the way God wants you to use it. For the gospel, and then for the poor. Be very generous. Be very, very generous. Let people get to know that if they come around you, they are going to be blessed. Hallelujah.
Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we receive. Mercy drops round us of glory. But for the showers we receive,
there shall be, hallelujah. One more time. That's where your soul is. That's where the fruit is. And raise the other hand to God. I'm going to pray at three levels. I'm going to first of all pray at the level of need. Need. Food. Raiment. The basics. Some people are struggling with that. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean all of our hearts with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that I have heard today. I thank you for the assurance that I have that you love me. And as my Father, you want to give me good things, food, raiment, so that I will be free to serve you. God, I trust you now
to meet me at my point of need. In the name of Jesus. Your word says, you will supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By faith. Raise that hand. It's an act of faith. By faith. Everybody raise your hand and your fist, you know, your five fingers like that. Okay? Like those children when they were singing, say, I'm going to the enemy's camp, I'm going to take back from him all that he has taken. So raise that hand and say, I receive my supply. Now. Now receive it. Receive it. Just say, I receive my supply now. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's the first prayer. The second prayer is fruit. And this is the reason why so many Christians are not prospering as much as they should be prospering. And we're going to pray. Say, Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name. I understand from your word that you will prosper me even as my soul prospers. And therefore, I prioritize my spiritual education, literacy, and development so that my will become more humble, my mind will be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, my emotions will be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that my soul as a whole will prosper, so that I would then prosper materially and financially even as my soul is prospering, so I will be able to give support to those that teach me the word, paying my tithes and my offerings promptly, completely, and regularly, and also have abundance for charitable donations to help the poor around me, making the world around me a better place for other people in Jesus' name. Third prayer, abundance. Third prayer, abundance. See, God doesn't just want us, He wants us to be rich. So pray this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, your word has revealed to me that the Lord Jesus, though he was rich, because of me, he became poor on the cross, so that I, today, here, and now, might be rich. You want me rich. And I want to be rich because you want me to be rich. Your word tells me that you want me to enjoy all things richly. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Come and give me wisdom and strength and power and ability to make wealth. So I will be wealthy. I will be rich. Give me direction. Give me wisdom. So I will become rich. For you are the one who gives power to make wealthy. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And I want to be rich for the right reasons. Not for covetousness. Not for self-centeredness. Not for the pride of life. I want to be rich so I can help the poor. I want to be rich so I can finance the gospel. I want to be rich so I can enjoy richly the good things of life as you have promised me, because you are my Father and you want good things for me. Father, 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 teach me to profit. Teach me how to be rich by income, by investments, by favor with men, and gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Lord, pray the catophines. Lema shalikito frenes. La preke tolomatoloma tu frede fresh. Langaras, Jeliolos, Nofrides, Nufridis, Langaras, Tulumush, Zephres, Lombredes, Nufridis, Nangaras, Tolomush Tufrines. In Jesus' name. Just before we go and I share the benediction, I truly believe in my heart. You know, God speaks to me. You know, this message just came. And God says, Mommy actually prophesied this. This is a year of upgrade. I never believe that. We're in May. We're going to cross into the second half of the year. I'm trusting God for every single one of you. By the end of this year, you will not be where you are now. You would have moved significantly to a higher position of prosperity. And it will also be in your soul. Don't follow the material only. That's been the wrong balance. Concentrate. Tell the Lord. Make a covenant with God. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk on my soul. Then you will walk on my prosperity. Lord, I will walk on my soul, but you will walk on my prosperity. And as my soul increases, I'm expecting, and he will do it. So that the least of us will be talking of the tens of millions. The richer ones will be talking hundreds of millions and billions. And the very, very ones, the rich, will start talking about trillions. I remember when I was a kid, the richest guys in the world were Paul Getty and Aristotle Onassis, Pastor Wee, you remember, in the 70s. You know, we used to look at them like that. You know, I wasn't even a Christian then. These are the people we have to copy and follow. I think the richest guy had 100 million, Paul Getty. He had 100 million. We did not know it was going to become chicken feed. At that time, it looked so big to everybody. You know, this was in the 70s. They made money from oil and shipping. That was the main something. There was nothing called a computer. They did not know that there were some young boys who were playing with transistor and soldering iron in some garages in California that were going to change the meaning of rich. Today, if you have 100 million, you're rich, but you're not. You may not even enter Fortune 500. You will not. You will not. You have 100 million dollars. I'm talking dollars, not naira. You're rich, but not. You know. But the church will outstrip them. He that is able to receive it, receive. God says, don't be discouraged. Mommy sent us that word last week. Don't be discouraged. It's right ahead of us. We give wisdom. You'll be so good at your job. You will be so good. People will be coming to ask you. You'll be saying, I'm busy. I don't have time. God will give you wisdom. You will invest little money to make millions without stress. It is our time. Our day has come. Where our shame shall be turned to fame. Okay, join hands with somebody. Hallelujah. 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 And they say, I don't preach prosperity. They say, I don't. See, I preach prosperity. Eh? Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, for God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life, and power, I am healed now by virtue of this corporate anointing of the people I am touching. I receive healing power into my body right now, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Tell them, say, you bear fruit and you prosper. God bless you. Tomorrow,